Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode 178 of the Panelcast. I am your host, AJ, and unfortunately this week, I am all alone. That's right, Anthony couldn't make it this week, so you just get me. I'm going to be sitting here talking about a whole bunch of different news stories that I've come across recently, and give you my review of Alien Covenant. All that, and probably not a whole lot more since there's nobody to discuss things with, coming up after we take our first break.
Hello everyone, this is Anthony White of the Panelcast, asking you to check out my bi-monthly column, Messages from the Ether, on the Forbidden Panel website. It's a column about my adventures at conventions, as well as my experiences playing new and old video games and experiencing new anime. That's Messages from the Ether, only on ForbiddenPanel.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Like I said, this is AJ, and I'm riding solo in this show, so why don't we go ahead and get started with the news bits. Recently, Russell Crowe revealed why he had turned down the Wolverine role. By now, it's pretty hard to imagine Wolverine being played by anybody other than Hugh Jackman. The actor concluded a decade and a half iconic run as the Mighty Mutant earlier this year in Logan, and it now seems that both Marvel and 20th Century Fox are in no rush to recast. However, at one point, another Australian actor, Russell Crowe, was up for the role, until he turned it down for a rather strange reason. Dougray Scott was also cast in Wolverine as Wolverine, but he too had to cancel due to his commitments to Mission Impossible 2. Whether or not that was a godsend or not, I think we'll never know, except I fully appreciate Jackman's run as Wolverine. Now, Bryan Singer was a friend at the time, and he was really putting the pressure on, Crowe recently explained in an interview on Australian TV. The actor had just finished up filming Ridley Scott's Gladiator and didn't want to be typecast as, yes, a fan of wolves. If you remember, Maximus has a wolf at the center of his cuirass, and he has a wolf as his companion, which I thought was going to be a bigger deal at the time. So I said no, because I didn't want to be wolfy like Mr. Wolf. As it turned out, pretty much all the wolfy scenes were cut from the final version of Gladiator, so Crowe's worries were for nothing. He apparently isn't beating himself up too much about the missed opportunity. It was him that suggested Hugh Jackman to Singer and company after all. Quote, I owe him because two of the biggest roles I've ever had in my life he turned down and suggested me for them, end quote. Jackman said in an early interview with EW referring to Wolverine and the lead role in Baz Luhrmann's Australia. Jackman fans can catch his final Wolverine adventure in Logan, which hits Blu-ray and DVD on May 23rd, while those favoring Crowe can catch him in The Mummy, due out in theaters June 9th. Now, Russell Crowe, I think, would have made a good Wolverine. Would he have been a great Wolverine? That remains to be seen. However, if he had gotten the role and gotten cast in it, he probably would have had to use that excuse to stay in shape all these years, instead of becoming, you know, Val Kilmer. Yeah, see, jokes aren't as funny when you're telling them to yourself. Marvel's Star Wars Rogue One prequel reveals how Cassian met KS2O. When Audience met Freedom Fighter Cassian Andor and his droid companion K2SO in Rogue One, the pair had already had a history. Now, a new Marvel Comics prequel titled Star Wars Rogue One Cassian and K2SO Special One we'll reveal how the duo first met. Debuting in August, the 40-page one-shot will be written by Dwayne Szczerzewski and illustrated by Fernando Blanco. I've told you guys out there, please stop having really messed up names, because I'll just chop them to bits. It's your own fault for me mispronouncing your name, because you have that name. You should be like Smith or Doe or White. Julian Totino Tedesco, see, there we go again, provides the cover, which depicts Cassian and K2SO standing back-to-back with X-Wings, flying against red-tinted Rebel Alliance emblem rising through the clouds. I'm looking at it now. It's very pretty. The announcement of Star Wars Rogue One, Cassian and K2SO special, arrives on the heels of Thursday's news of a five-issue miniseries starting Mace Windu, Star Wars Jedi of the Republic, Mace Windu. All these names are like really obvious. They can't be more inventive. That one is written by Matt Owens and illustrated by Dennis Cohen, and finds the fan favorite character in a story that unfolds as the Jedi Order faces perhaps the greatest challenge yet. If he doesn't say motherfucker in the comic, then it's just not going to be as good as it could have been. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker? Moving on. In what has to be shocking news today, Sony Pictures has announced that Academy Award nominated actor Tom Hardy has signed up for the lead role in Venom, first appearing in the Spider-Man comic book series as an alien costume worn by Peter Parker. The creature ultimately left Peter Parker and merged with photographer Eddie Brock to become the anti-hero known as Venom. It's expected this film, announced in March, will not tie into the new Tom Holland-led Spider-Man franchise. Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pickner are penning the script, while Rupert Fleischer, who wrote Zombieland, directed Zombieland, will direct the movie, which is slated to begin production this fall ahead of its debut on October 5th next year. Now, what version of Venom we're going to see has yet to be spoken about. Are we going to see the crazy aliens? Well, Eddie Brock, obviously. So we'll see the crazy alien version, but I wonder if they're going to make him Agent Venom instead. With no ties to Spider-Man, it's going to be hard to see how they skip him, you know, because, as I said, Venom came and infected, the symbiote came and infected Peter Parker first, and then learned of Spider-Man and his powers, and began to emulate it when it was off on its own from then on. And in every version of Venom, having seen from there with Eddie Brock, Matt Gargan, and, oh my god, I cannot remember his name, and it's going to hurt my brain until I do, so I'm going to keep talking. So, anyway, he's going to be different than what a community. So, anyway, the symbiote takes over all of the Spider-Man traits and all the characters it inhibits from then on. And so, it's going to be hard to see how they portray that without tying into Spider-Man at all. It's going to be kind of weird. Moving on from that. So, multiple award-winning actor, playwright, and composer Lin-Manuel Miranda Hamilton has joined the voice cast of the new DuckTales series, debuting this summer on Disney XD. The lifelong DuckTales aficionado will provide the voice of fan-favorite character Gizmo Duck, a.k.a. Fenton Crackshell Cabrera. The character is being slightly adjusted here, no longer Scrooge's bumbling accountant. He's now a brilliant young intern working for Scrooge McDuck's personal mad scientist, Giro Girlus, whom is yet to be cast. Miranda will recur alongside the regular cast of David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck, Danny Pudi, Ben Schwartz, and Bobby Moynihan as the voices of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, respectively. Kate Micucci as Webby, Beck Bennett as Launchpad McQuack, and Tox Olagandoye as Mrs. Berkeley. Again, people with these complicated names. Jesus. The series, produced by Disney Television Animation and based on the classic cartoon series, has already been picked up for second season ahead of its highly anticipated premiere. It seems like they're bringing out all the stops on as far as voice actors go to portray the characters. I just hope that they don't pigeonhole themselves with it, you know? So it'll be cool to see everybody involved in the series. I just hope that with the changes they're making, the old school fans like myself won't be upset. It's understandable that they're making these changes so that the new fans can get into it without having the old stuff linger over them. But at the same time, as long as they pay some sort of credit or respect to it, you know what I mean? That we won't get so upset. Moving forward, earlier this week came the announcement that Judge Dredd Mega City 1 was in development, a live-action TV series adaptation of the famed 2000 AD comics property. An officer of the law in a dystopian future where he has the power of judge, jury, and executioner, Dredd has been played on screen by Sylvester Stallone in a poorly reviewed 1995 Judge Dredd, I thought it was awesome, and Carl Urban in the well-regarded and slowly achieving cult status 2012 film Dredd. I thought that was awesome as well. IM Global Television is behind the new TV project, with Brian Chicken set to produce and Jason Kingsley and Mark Stern to executive produce. All three appeared on a 2008 Thrillcast this week, and Jenkins has hinted that those on the series hope to get Urban involved again. We had many conversations prior to this about all sorts of things. He's also very busy, a full-time professional actor. So we're going to have some long and complicated conversations, I would imagine. And we'll see where we go. It's too early to tell yet, but if we can use him and he's available to us, then I think that would be absolutely brilliant. There's always a possibility he will be busy or that his schedule for other movies won't allow. Basically, we won't know. We don't know at this stage. Previously, Urban has said he'd like to revisit the character, but that was for a potential film sequel, whereas a TV series commitment, even in the shorter episode cable streaming runs of episodes that are common these days, is different altogether. The story of the series follows a team of judges as they encounter various challenges in the world in which East Coast cities have merged into a giant megapolis. No network or casting has been announced yet for the series, which isn't expected to debut until late 2018. Carl Urban did a great job on TV recently with Almost Human, and I thought his portrayal of the character in there was just phenomenal. But for him not to be Dredd would be a shock, considering how hard he pushed for the movie to begin with, and then pushed even harder for a sequel to come out. I mean, he still walks around in the Dredd costume, showing up to like sick kids in hospitals and whatnot for the like Make-A-Wish Foundation, or just to cruise by. So he obviously has love for the character. So let's just see if they can hopefully work out the deals where he can appear. If not, there's always a chance that they can portray other judges in the series and have them show up randomly, but more frequently than, say, characters like in Limitless, you know, where we had Bradley Cooper from the movie showing up throughout the TV series. That can also help happen with a TV series here. You know, if they do like an 8 to 10 episode Judge Dredd series and have Dredd actually show up, you know, more times than Bradley Cooper did, but still involve other judges in there, it would be cool to see, because seeing other judges involved with their personalities and the way that they handle things would be very awesome. Judge Anderson, I'm a big fan of. So seeing her in a couple solo episodes a la Netflix, or, you know, like what they do with Iron Fist and all that stuff, that'd be kind of cool to see. We'll just wait and see what happens and hope for the best. Moving forward, one of the most unexpected announcements at this morning's upfront presentation for the CW was that the upcoming 13th season of Supernatural will feature an all-animated episode. That's right, they're getting involved like all the other shows have done. That episode will involve Sam and Dean meeting up with Scooby-Doo, the mystery team's beloved mascot. No word on whether or not Scooby-Doo characters like Shaggy or Velma will be showing up. The show stars Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki made the announcement on stage, entering the room with a perfect greeting of "Yep, still here," along with showing off the first art of themselves, rendered in old-school Hanna-Barbera style. I don't watch Supernatural. I will not be watching Supernatural because of this, but from everything I've heard from all of my friends is that their season's hit or miss. I'm guessing maybe this last season missed and are just trying to do something to keep people interested when they should have been canceled a while ago. I don't know. Again, not my a fan of the show, but I thought it was interesting news, so I thought I'd bring it out. Oscar Isaac, James McAvoy, and Jake Gyllenhaal, Nicholas Hoult, and Mark Wahlberg are all reportedly under consideration to star in the film adaptation of the comic Bloodshot at Sony Pictures and Valiant Entertainment, says The Wrap. The story follows a former soldier killed and brought back to life with technological upgrades in his body with billions of nanobots. This allows him to be a perfect soldier as he can instantaneously heal, shapeshift, and interact with technology. First-time filmmaker Dave Wilson has been tapped to direct the project, taking over from the previously attached John Wick directors David Leitch and Chad Stahelski, while Eric Heisner has penned the script. Sony and Valiant are planning a whole cinematic universe based on the fan-favorite comic book line of characters, with a Harbinger film and then a crossover of the two and a Harbinger War feature. Now, I've read Bloodshot, and I thought it was really awesome. or at least the reboot of it. I thought it was kind of awesome. Now, casting is going to be a little tricky. While I hate Mark Wahlberg and hope that he dies in a burning fire, I wouldn't mind seeing other actors like Jake Gyllenhaal or Nicholas Hoult show up in these. Oscar Isaac, I think, is busy enough with the Star Wars, and he could just stay over there. And James McAvoy, well, you know what. We'll sit back and just wait once again. In the meantime, if you haven't had a chance, go pick up the new relaunch of the Valiant series that's out there now. Bloodshot is a really awesome book, as is Harbinger. So you want to get in touch and get caught up with these things before the actual TV series comes out or movie comes out. So that way you're just not left, you know, guessing. Because I'm telling you, if you don't know, it'll be kind of hard to get behind these characters in the show. Netflix has announced plans to develop and produce a new drama series based on Polish writer Andrzej Sapkowski's 8-novel and short story fantasy saga, The Witcher. The story follows Witcher's hunters who develop supernatural abilities at a young age to battle deadly monsters. Jason Brown and Sean Daniel will accept it to produce. The franchise is mostly known for a highly successful video game franchise adaptation it has spawned. The third game, dubbed The Wild Hunt, considered one of the largest and most lauded video games ever made. So, the stories follow an unconventional family that comes together to fight for truth in a dangerous world. The characters are original, funny, and constantly surprising, and we can't wait to bring them to life at Netflix. Right now, Netflix can do no wrong. They're really killing it on with their little movies and whatnots and their own creator-owned stuff. So, it'll be kind of cool to see this. Though, seeing Vin Diesel in The Last Witch Hunter recently makes all this sound very familiar. So, I mean, who knows, you know. So, anyway, that about wraps it up for the news segment. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be reviewing Alien Covenant.
Happy llama, sad llama, mentally disturbed llama, super llama, drama llama, big fat mama llama.
Hi, this is Joey Labarnik, and you can check out my latest comic, A Man Called Kraken, at comixology.com, and be sure to keep checking the Forbidden Panel website, because you're going to be able to see my artwork in the upcoming Volume 2 of Forbidden Tales.
It's me, bitch. Yes, I am that llama.
Hello, and welcome back, everybody. So, in this segment, we're going to go ahead, because it's just all me. All by myself. Anyway, in this segment, I'm going to go ahead and give you my review of Alien Covenant. Last night, it came out at a midnight showing, and I went out and checked it out. And, so let me give you a little background. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Alien franchise, first off, shame. Shame, shame on you. First Alien movie came out in 1979. It was called Alien. It was basically this ship lands on a planet and gets a distress signal, heads over to the planet to check it out, and big monster, scary drama goes from there. And spawned so many sequels. The first movie, the original movie, was designed to be a horror movie with the tagline, "In Space, No One Can Hear You Scream," starring Sigourney Weaver and a whole bunch of people that you know now. They're very famous now thanks to this film. And it did an amazing job. It introduced us to an alien species and a universe where most space travelers that we see or are involved with are... for the most part, like labor workers. They're going to terraform, they're going to transport stuff, they're going to do labored work, or in some cases, sometimes you came across a scientist's vessel or so, but for the most part, it is labored work. So we are introduced to this alien species, we're introduced to the space jockey, and we're introduced to so much beautiful visuals and that it was just phenomenal, and it affected me in a way that I just fell in love with it since then. The sequel came out in 1986, directed by James Cameron, called Aliens, and that took it onto an action level. James Cameron at the time was, you know, it was during the time when Terminator 2 came out and the aliens came out and everything was actioning and bam, bam, boom, explosions everywhere. And that's what Aliens was that introduced us to the character Ripley, who came from the first film and showed us how, here we are years later, she has ended up with the Space Marines and they're going back to the same planet to fight more aliens. So it became action more than horror. Alien 3 then came out in 1992, which showed Ripley waking up on a prison planet. And there was nothing but guys, and somehow an alien had followed her along, infects all the prisoners there, and kills them. And big, big fight, and you're revealed. Something I had left out in the original Alien, you're introduced to a character named Bishop. Ash, which introduced, you know, the androids to the film. In the second film, that android was replaced by Bishop, who, you know, through no fault of his own, perished at the end. Alien 3, this time you meet Weyland Yutani, who just happens to be Bishop. I didn't mean Weyland Yutani. I should have said his other name, because I'm stupid. But I'm also very excited. So, there. Take that. I hate you all. Anyway, I'm a dork, guys, in case you haven't noticed yet. So, Prison Island, at the end of it, Ripley jumps into a vat of molten metal, and ta-da, end of series, supposedly. Wrong. In 1997, you were met by Alien Resurrection. Here you find that there are many clones of Ripley so that they can pull the alien DNA out of her genes and try to create the alien on their own. Wrong, mistake, bad, no. It just goes from there. Once again, you're met with an android in the way of Winona Ryder. I can't remember the character's name right now because I have all kinds of information flooding my brain. The pain of being a geek. Anyway, Winona Ryder is the android in this film. Then, in 2012, just 5 short years ago, you're met with Prometheus. I'm not leaving out the Alien vs. Predator series. Trust me, I will talk about those so that my face is red. But for this podcast, I think I will just stick straight with the Alien franchise, okay? Go watch Alien vs. Predator and then watch the Predator series. That's awesome! I've actually spent a whole day putting all of these films in chronological order by which they would appear on a natural timeline, not by release date, but by time period in which the film or the story takes place. And it literally took all day, and I was just a big fat geek, happy as a clam at the end of it. Now I see with these new prequel series, Prometheus, Covenant, and whatever the next film will be called, I will have to splice those in there somewhere before Alien and after AVP and Part 2 and see how that feels, because that's just what I am. I'm a completist and a dork. Prometheus came out and you were introduced with to the engineers, the premise of the engineers. And what the engineers are is this race of people that are at their physical perfection and but are bound by that have similar DNA to us. And what they do is they go to planets and make them habitable and then implant the planet with human-style DNA so that, you know, man can grow. And in the process, they developed another DNA project, another biological weapon in the alien strain. They're not given a proper name yet, which has kind of bothered me. I wish they were. I'm sure in some of these canonical books that are out there, they are given a proper name, and I just have to get to them. So the strain creates aliens. But it's different, because as we learn throughout the series, aliens become different when they're introduced to different species. So you don't get just the common style that you saw in the first Alien. You get different kinds, dog aliens, smooth aliens, hybrid aliens, so on and so forth. Anyway, and the engineers had developed a base replica of the alien. So you're introduced to all of that. A lot of people hated Prometheus because they were kind of confused with the whole engineering stuff. There was a lot of film cut out, so it kind of was choppy and just hard to understand. I, on the other hand, loved it because I'm a fan of the series. To see Ridley Scott come back to the series after creating the series with the first Alien, I thought was awesome. Again, we're introduced to the cyborg named David, played by Michael Fassbender, a.k.a. Magneto. How ironic, he controls metal and now he's a robot. I'm just going to leave that there. Moving forward, the female this time was played by, the hero was played by Naomi Rapace, who, if you've seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that's who she is. She was also, in Peter Pan, but we won't talk about that. Shh. At the end of Prometheus, you're seen with Naomi Rapace and the David android flying off into space, having no idea where they're going. You're picked up by Alien Covenant, which is the film I saw last night. I'm not going to get too far into the details. I'm not going to tell you who, what, where, why, or what. But I will say this. Alien Covenant picks up perfectly 10 years after Prometheus ended. In fact, the first 10 minutes of the film is just, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was very 2001 style. You know, you open up in a clean room and it just goes into something that you wouldn't expect to see in a film in this kind of franchise. And then it just goes from there. The action I thought was great. The acting and the characters were fantastic. The storyline was, it's an alien film. So of course I just blended right into it. I decided to watch Prometheus before going to the film. So I watched Prometheus, took a shower, and then drove over to the movie theater and watched Covenant. So I had no gap or lapse in time. And it kind of picks up and flows awesomely. There are some visuals in there that you're just going to be like, oh man, that's fantastic. But the scare factor is back. The gross factor is back. And it's kind of a blend with, you know, aliens, and Prometheus. Because it answers a lot of questions, a lot of things that we were all wondering about. Whether it does it on purpose or accidentally or what have you, but it just answers them. And the fact that it takes time out to answer those questions that we had all had during the franchise is kind of cool. I like the way that they did that, and I appreciate that they did that. The ending, however, it comes way the fuck out of left field, and you're just like, what the hell happened? And, I can't believe that happened, and you're just excited for the next film. And it just can't come fast enough, in my opinion. So, as far as if I had to rate the Alien series as to, you know, which is the best to the worst, I'd have to say, you know, Alien is the best. Aliens comes right after that. Prometheus and Covenant then comes in. Resurrection and then Alien 3. It's not to say that I didn't like any of those films. I did like them. But as far as where my favorites lie, that's the order that they're in. And I'm not including the AVPs and the Predator stories into that timeline, just the Alien films alone. So, you know, Covenant is out there. Is it worth 3D? I didn't see it on 3D, so I couldn't tell you. It is, however, worth a big screen format. It is gorgeous and beautiful. It is a sequel to Prometheus. So if you did not like Prometheus, you're probably not going to like Covenant, because there's enough of Prometheus that bleeds over into Covenant to make it similar and to make it as a reminder of what Covenant was. So, again, warning, if you didn't like Prometheus, don't go into Covenant thinking that it's not going to tie in. It's a direct sequel, so just beware. No after-credit scenes, even though the entire theater waited around for it. That's how the ending was, like when the ending happened and we were just like, what? And so we waited because we were hoping to see something in the credit scenes that would answer questions as to what just happened. And there wasn't any. It just left it to where you're like, you bastards, I got to come back for part three. Not that we weren't going to come back for part three, mind you, but it just left it like that. So there you have it. I definitely recommend it. If you're a fan of the series, go check it out. You will not be disappointed. Gross, scary, thriller, action-y, tense, very tense moments. And very surprising moments that you wouldn't expect to see in a movie like this. Is it a little long-winded? Is it a little bit full of itself? Of course it is. It's an Alien movie. When you have six films in a franchise where you've seen a character not only six times, but two other times in a crossover, that's eight times you've seen this character. And as popular as the species is, you're going to be a little, like, you know, flamboyant with it. It's a little showy, what have you. But it's worth it. I promise you, it's awesome. It answers questions, which is what a sequel should do. Answer the questions that you wanted to learn in the first film and leave more questions open that you want explained in the third film. New questions, you know, so that you're not carrying over more. So there you have it. That about wraps it up. I have found out that there are some in canon book series that I didn't know was out there, so I'm very anxious to read that as well. That would be Alien Out of Shadows, Isolation, River of Pain, and a new one coming out, The Colonial Marines, which came out in 2013, and Alien Sea of Sorrows. So I am curious about those books. I'm going to have to go pick them up. They've given us a chronology here on the Wikipedia page, so I'll go ahead and give them to you. The first part would be TED 2023 talks. If you haven't seen that, it was, I believe it was an added feature in the Prometheus DVD or Blu-ray. It's really awesome. It shows Wayland giving a TED talk and explaining his company and what they want to do with it and the future of it. So it gives you a little insight into that. Then you're followed by Prometheus. Then you're followed by the Alien Covenant prologue. If you haven't seen these yet, these are up on YouTube. They're The Crossing and The Last Supper. Last Supper, The Crossing is David and Shaw from Prometheus. And it shows what happened after they left the planet and what they were doing in the meantime. And then you meet, then there's The Last Supper, and that's the crew of the Alien Covenant, having their last summer before they enter into hypersleep. Followed that by Alien Covenant, and then the original Alien movie, Alien Out of the Shadows, which is a book, Alien Isolation is a video game, and Alien River of Pain, which is another novel. Then Aliens, Alien 3, Aliens Colonial Marines, which again I'm not familiar with, I'm going to have to find out about that. Alien Resurrection, and then Alien Sea of Sorrows. So, a lot of Alien stuff going out there in the world. I'm very excited to catch up and read it. So, Alien Colonial Marines is a video game. So it looks like I'll have to play that game. Damn it. I didn't want to play any more video games. Meh. So, that about wraps it up. We did have some great events that we just passed. We had the Free Comic Book Day, which is an awesome experience. Thank you for everybody in the High Desert, QBC Toys and More, Toys and Comics for having us. We really appreciated it. We had the Ontario Comic Con, which was called Comic Con Revolution. A great turnout. Over 5,000 people showed up for the first event. We had a lot of new fans come by and talk to us and pick up a couple books, and they seemed generally excited and interested in our stuff. So for those new to Forbidden Panel, I welcome you, and I apologize. I don't normally ramble for this long. Anybody knows that. In fact, I'll probably get off the air here soon and not talk to anybody for another week, which will make my wife happy, which is what I want to do, make my wife happy. Anyway, so, you know, we've had a pretty adventurous time. We've got 24-hour Create Something Day coming up next weekend. That'll take place from 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. And what that is we lock ourselves in the Forbidden Panel Clubhouse for 24 hours and try to just complete a project, just to do something. You know, we have a lot of great artists and creators that will be there. already working on projects that they have already started, and they're using this opportunity as a working time to finish their projects. So if you are looking to try and get into the industry, if you have any questions for us, or just looking for some tips or anything like that, just come on down. And, you know, we're very open-armed and wide-eyed and very willing to share our knowledge with people and to help people out. So come down and check it out if you get a chance. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and bid you adieu. And I will see you here sometime in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully in time to review Wonder Woman, which comes out on June 1st. I'm very excited for that one. That doesn't sound right, does it? I don't care. I'm going to enjoy it. So we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks again for tuning in. And yeah, see you then.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.